on this lake. And if they know it's time to panic, then it was time to panic. The boat is filling with water. The waves are crashing in. I'm sure they're trying to bail and take care of the water, but it's filling up faster than they can get the water out of this boat. Very understandably, they are terrified. And it's a portrait of fear. They are scared for their life. And so they, understanding that their lives were in danger, they say to Jesus in verse 38, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That we perish. If the boat goes down in that storm, they are going to drown in the middle of that storm. They are going to die if their boat sinks. So they, thankfully, Jesus was with them. They cry out to Jesus to rescue them. In verse 38, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They kind of ask him for help. It's more like when kids whine about something, and instead of just like asking for help, they whine about it. That's kind of what they do. I'm being a little facetious, but they don't actually ask for help. They just say, "Don't you care that we are going to perish?" And then Jesus rebukes the wind, and he said unto the sea, "Peace be still," in verse 39. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. They were terrified. They were absolutely frightened of this storm. And they go to Jesus, and Jesus just speaks, and the sea stops, and the sea is calm. The storm calms at the very command of Jesus. All he has to do is speak to it, and it stops, and the storm is over. They can bail out the boat, and they're going to be okay. In verse 40, he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" But look at verse 41. "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What manner of man is this? They look at Jesus and go, "What sort of person are you that you can do this? That you can just speak and the power of the storm ends. The power of the storm is broken." It's as if when they get to verse 41, they're even more afraid when the storm stops than they were in the midst of the storm. Almost, right? It's a different type of fear, but they saw something even more powerful than that storm. They understood the fury of that storm and the destructive power that was in the storm and what that storm could do. And then they saw that there was someone even greater than that storm, someone far more powerful than nature itself. And they say, "What manner of man is this? How powerful do you have to be to get a storm to stop?" I mean, that's a different sort of power than we are used to, you know, dealing with. Because it's not a physical power. You can't have muscles enough to stop a storm. It's not like financial power. You're not rich enough to stop a storm. It's a different sort of power. It's like a miraculous power. It's like the power of the Creator. That's not a power that we have anything to do with. Nobody can muster up that sort of power. It's a whole different type of strength. But this is who our God is. And understandably, just as understandable as it was for them to be afraid of the storm and respect its power, they looked at Jesus and had a newfound respect for how powerful he was. It was a different fear. They feared the destruction, the power of the storm to destroy them, but they feared the power of Jesus to save them. Respect for both of these types of power. And Jesus told them in verse 40, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Jesus told them, if you respect my power, if you have faith in what I can do, then you won't have fear for the storm and what the storm is able to do. Have you ever seen one of those shark cages? Talk about dangerous pastimes. One of those shark cages that you can, you get on the inside of the cage and the sharks are on the outside, and then they lower you into the water with the sharks. There's a company in South Africa called the White Shark Diving Company. And this is what they do. You get on a boat and they take you off the coast of Africa to where there's a bunch of great white sharks. And you pay them and they let you in that cage and put you in the water. And you get lowered into the water among these sharks. I don't know if they like bait the water for these sharks, if they're like, they make them a little angry, you know, to get more sharks around, put some blood in the water. I'm not sure what they do, but they guarantee that you will get to see sharks from within this cage. They have some FAQs on their website. One of those is shark cage diving safe? And they say, yes, we've been doing this for over 26 years with a flawless safety record. Our crew is highly experienced, our equipment is top-notch, and your safety is our first priority on every trip. And then they have another question, I like this one. It says, "Can I join the trip without getting into the cage?" And their answer is, "Yes, absolutely, our viewing-only option lets you stay dry while enjoying all the action from the boat." I'm like, that might be my choice. Can I just look? I don't want to be in the cage, I just want to watch someone else do it. Right, but you know, if you're gonna get into that cage and go down in that water, you are trusting that the cage is stronger than those sharks. That the strength of those hopefully metal bars are tougher than the force that a shark can generate with its jaws. You are banking on the cage being stronger than the shark. And this is us with Jesus Christ. With all the things that we face, we are trusting that he is greater. And we respect his power more than the power of anything else. We look at Jesus Christ and say, he's greater than all the storms. I have more respect for the power of my God than I do for anything else that's in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world and anything else that this world holds. This is what our faith does. Faith in God respects his power, respects what God is able to do. And we face a lot in this life that could harm us. And I'm not going to start to list everything, but it seems like we find out new stuff every day, right? There's always a new virus, it seems like, going around somewhere in the world that's, you know, threatening to come to America. And there's all the time different foods that they're like, well, now this one's bad for you. Hope you haven't been eating that one. You're like, yes, I have been. So I'm in trouble. There's always like a new financial thing that you need to be aware of. And it's like always something. There's always new dangers that are out there. And then there's all the spiritual dangers that we face. All of these things that threaten us and threaten to harm us. And we should have respect for all of these things. We shouldn't be stupid and be like, nothing can hurt me. I am bulletproof. But we need to have a greater respect for God than anything else. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. In verse 1 and 2 sets up the story that we're going to look at. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. So here is Ahaz, King Ahaz of Judah, of the southern kingdom, and all of a sudden he is facing the king of Syria and the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. They're coming against him, to war against him. And then it's told, verse 2, that there's another alliance. And it says, his heart was moved in the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Yeah, he's afraid. Right? They are understandably scared of what could happen, that they're facing an enemy that is greater than them. And so in the end of chapter 7 and then in chapter 8, God sends Isaiah to King Ahaz and says, all right, here's what you need to know. Here's what I'm going to tell you about how all of this is going to go and what I'm going to do. But I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And so the Lord tells the people are going to want an alliance. They're going to say, you got to go down to Egypt. Send an ambassador to Egypt and see if the Egyptians will ally with us. See if you can find someone, maybe the Assyrians, someone that can ally with us. We'll have this confederacy and then we'll have the strength that we need to drive off the attackers. And the Lord says, don't do it. Do not listen to them when they try and say a confederacy. Do not join in with that. He says, do not fear their fear. Don't be afraid of the things that they're afraid of. All that terrifies them, don't give into that fear. He tells them in verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Sanctify means to set apart. Like in holiness, it's like in worship. He's saying worship the Lord with real reverence and fear. Exalt the Lord in your own heart. Exalt his greatness. Exalt his strength. Exalt his wisdom. The Bible says over and over, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. You give God the reputation and the respect that he deserves. And he says, fear him. Don't fear these other nations. Don't fear what the people are afraid of. You fear God. You respect God. Respect the power of God more than anything else. And he tells him in verse 14, when you do that, he shall be for a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He says he's going to be for you a sanctuary. Shark cage? I don't know if we can use that illustration. He's going to be this place of safety for you. He will protect you. God will take care of you if you fear him, if you respect him. In Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Turn to Psalm 66. Here's another passage. Psalm 66 and verse 1. Psalm 66 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Terrible is like awe-inspiring, fear-inducing. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. That's what you do. You praise the name of God. You exalt his power and his greatness. You say, Lord, how incredible are the things that you can do? How powerful are the works that you can accomplish? Say that unto the Lord. Worship God. Exalt his name. Have more respect for the power of God than for the power of anything else. Last night, I changed the blade on our lawnmower. And so before I did anything, I got the lawnmower up on the workbench. Before I started to do anything, I took one very important step, and that is I pulled the wire off the spark plug. Now, did I really have to? You know, was that mower going to spontaneously start? Probably not. But I wasn't going to take any chances. It takes like, what, 2 seconds to pull the wire off the spark plug. I wasn't going to take any chances. I'm sticking my hands under that lawnmower where that blade is. And yes, maybe it wasn't the sharpest blade at that point, but still, it's going to be enough to hurt quite a bit and do a lot of damage to my hands. I had to respect the power that was there in the engine, in that blade, and I had to respect that power enough to just be careful of that. You know, if I do any electrical work, I flip the breaker. I'm not taking any chances. I don't know enough to take chances. I don't know enough to do things with the breaker on. So I don't take any chances. Before I unscrew the outlet cover, I go down and I flip the breaker just to have respect to that power. There are powerful forces all around us in this world. There are things that want to harm us physically, spiritually, all sorts of ways. There are things that we would have every reason to be afraid of and every reason to fear. But then we see God. We see the storm. We see what it's doing to our boat. But then we see God. And then we see Jesus, and we remember how powerful he is. We remember all the verses. We remember all the stories from the Word of God that tell us who our God is. And we know that there's a reason in the book of Revelation he is called Almighty, because that is who he is. That is the power that he has. We see the storm. We see all the things that want to harm us and all the things that want to induce fear in our lives. But we have greater respect for who God is. We fear his power more than anything else. The disciples saw firsthand just how powerful the storm could be, but then they saw just how powerful God could be. And the power of Jesus Christ was greater than the power of the storm, and the same is true in our life. So for us, a portrait of fear, but not of things, not of this life, not of Satan, not of anything else. We fear God. We look at God and we respect his power. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you truly are a powerful God. Lord, we saw your power in the gospel, in our salvation. You are greater than, your grace was greater than all of our sin. Lord, we're thankful for what you're able to do. Lord, help us to, in those times where we are afraid of the storms of life, help us to see your power. Lord, remind us of just how great you are, and may we respect your greatness more than anything else. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us the confidence and the courage that we need to face this life, knowing how great you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.